20 yards out!
That is a jewel from Jewel.
Tim Cahill has done it again! What a goal by Tim Cahill!
Thompson! Five goals to Archie.
Swing out, Paducah's header from North Melbourne. And the league champion, Dark Lord's old man.
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
G'day, amigos, and welcome to the Four Diegos here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you on this Wednesday night. It's not bad. It's going to get fresh, I think, over the next couple of days. But hey, thanks to Mark Fine, finally on another sensational show, and he'll be back tomorrow. And also the boys from the Wonder Years, Stevie Milne and Troy Zantuck, always enjoying listening on the drive into SEN for the Diegos, and I'm sure there are millions of listeners as well. Vinny Venezuela's in the house tonight.
Thank you much, Rodrigo. Good to be here.
So is Warren, looking very pensive tonight.
Yeah, no, it's funny because 1990 brings back horror memories for me. I met Carlos in 1990 for the first time in my life. Yeah, Carlos, you wouldn't have remembered
before that.
It was 1990.
Actually, just introduce me and then I'll get into the conversation.
Okay. No, you can talk now. He's introduced you. Carlos Alberto Diego.
Thanks, Rodrigo.
The man who met Warren in 1990.
I thought it was earlier than that, Warren.
Oh, I might have been.
Because the pain's been stuck in me for a long time.
I tell you though, Carlos, and it might have been 89 when
Carlos,
I first met.
Carlos, yeah, 89. Is it like being constipated? Is it that sort of pain?
I still remember.
We didn't do our first rehearsal for the Diegos in 1990,
Those people who listen to Diegos regularly would know when we get in a reflective mood, we go back to that first audition tape.
It was 1990.
In the school library. We had the little cassette recorder.
Yep.
With some cassettes in those days, little kiddies out there.
Record and play at the same time.
Yep. And,
the red button.
And I'm pretty sure we didn't press it right in the first place, so we had to do it again. And we did a fake interview with the Diegos, the starting Diegos plus Paul Wade. I was Paul Wade. So we went through the whole thing. So, that was really nice. But Warren said outlandish things in those days also.
Yeah, and we'll address some of the outlandish things he said in the pre-match, which was all of 2 minutes tonight. But, hey, we'd love you to talk to us tonight. 9429 1116, that's the phone number. And, of course, 0433 98 1116. We'll catch up with Mike McGrath from the UK a little bit later on. And, of course, a couple of Asian Champions League games yesterday. Kashima Antlers defeated Western Sydney Wanderers 2-1, and Brisbane Roar defeated Beijing Guoan. 1-0. Never quite sure how to say that.
I love all football, as you know. I mean, I could be driving down the street on the weekend, maybe a bit of time up my sleeve, little kiddies game, I go and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who's playing, I just like to watch it. But I'm finding it really, really, really difficult to watch the ACL games involving Brisbane Roar and West Sydney Wanderers at the moment. I can't believe they're still getting results, those two teams, when they've been so average to poor this season in the A-League. I don't know. I'm just a smidgen of boredom.
The Western Sydney Wanderers almost gave us a bit of hope, or gave their fans a bit of hope, because they were up.
Yeah, they were.
They need to be up, and then they just slid away.
Vinny, I know they've played a lot of games this season, but I'm seeing too many gaps.
Gaps.
I mean, they're getting reasonable crowds, but there's starting to be gaps.
Honeymoon's over, Carlos. It's all over.
Yeah, I think so too, Vinny. I think they're a club under pressure next year.
The question for Popper is how long can he keep it together, or keep his job with these sorts of performances?
Mm. Is the fairy tale over, boys? Because, they had a fairy tale first few years. And, Warren, you were reflective of fairy tales in the pre-show, and that kind of makes up our hot topic tonight. Can you take us through it?
Well, contemplating life without Stevie G. And I stayed up, as one would do when trophies are at, a scarcity at the club that I support, to watch the FA Cup final on Sunday night. And good luck to Aston Villa and everything like that. But I was at the end of it thinking to myself that when Steven Gerrard actually announced his retirement, that you had all these grand feelings that he would go out, with a 24-gun salute and everything else, the fanfare. It was going to be a fairy tale way to finish. And the fact that the FA Cup final was going to be on his 35th birthday, and Liverpool, through you know, the draw, had made their way through to the semi-final and were playing Aston Villa. I know Reading, Arsenal played Reading, so you could have said Liverpool had the harder game.
And but they scored first?
Scored first, Coutinho, and really, without playing sensationally well, controlled the first half and probably should have just been able to go away. And even Stevie G passing it to Mario Balotelli, and it was a questionable as to whether it was offside or not, and the ball was in the back of the net. It made me realise that in an era where, you know, it's all about professionalism and money, maybe the fairy tale in world football doesn't exist anymore. It just doesn't happen. So the hot topic, I suppose, on that is I contemplate Stevie G's exit.
Departure.
Stage door left, really, yeah. The way it is. It's not going to be open stages.
He's going down the little chute in the middle of the stage. Yeah, the trap door. Yeah. That's where he's going.
A fairy tale that you'd like to see come true in this era of professionalism and money and all
cynicism
that.
Cynicism and, you know.
Warren, do you think the fairy tale ended for Stevie G that the minute he slid in the Chelsea game and slipped? And
he hasn't played well since.
Not for his, really? not for his bank manager, though.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny, Vinny, because this stuff around Steven Gerrard, I mean, in all honesty, you have to celebrate the one club players, you know, the guys that have grown up and been part of the system and heart and soul. And if there was ever a player, and I might be biased, but if there was ever a player...
You almost met him, Warren.
I did. You almost met him. Yeah, that's another story. I was actually alone that day outside of Copacabana Beach. I think I might have been waiting for you three guys. Yeah, but anyway, another story. If ever a guy deserved a fairy tale finish, it's Stevie G. He's the modern day Scarlet Pimpernel of world football.
Listen, you know, for me, a player who is many, many, many times over a millionaire
doesn't deserve.
I don't think they deserve a Cinderella story or a fairy tale. It'd be nice if they had one.
Yes, there's a fairy tale every night, Carlos.
Well, there's a little bit of romance there, you know, that he could have had one, but he's not going to be thinking twice about. Of course,
no, he's not. Come on.
He's not the club man we think he is, Carlos.
Well, the thing is, for me, if he hadn't thought about seriously going to Chelsea all those years ago, I'd be more in line with what Warren's saying. But he seriously thought about walking.
But he didn't.
So for me, the fact that he even thought about it is enough to me to say, Carlos, he's just like everyone else.
By implication,
Wayne Rooney doesn't love Manchester United. By implication.
Is it possible for there to be a fairy tale in modern-day professional sport?
Professional sport? I mean, there's different levels of professional sport. I mean, there's a fairy tale in FA Cups, for example, or in our FFA Cup. When they're making no money, these guys, they're plumbers during the day, they're racing, they're training with their overalls on and their toolkit and stuff like that, and they go and try and win a game against Melbourne Victory. For me, that's a fairy tale if they do.
But at professional sport level?
I don't think so. Not these days.
It's disappointing.
No, Western Sydney Wanderers were a bit of a fairy tale.
That was a fairy tale?
You know,
that doco was good on them too.
It was very good, yes. So, the hot topic tonight, a fairy tale you'd like to see sometime. Give us a text message on 0433 98 1116. Already a few coming through. Oh, poor you, up the Villa. Villa were all over the Reds. Fairy tale would be for the Villains to grab an eighth FA Cup. Ben from Shepparton.
Gabby Agbon-Lahore, he deserves a fairy tale.
Yeah, he's a one-club player.
He's been there. He scored important goals.
Yeah, he didn't leave when Ashley Young left.
Yeah, but he's been pretty he's been pretty inconsistent over the years. You ask any Aston Villa fans about Agbon-Lahore. I mean, the guy was on the verge of playing for England, and I think he's got a couple of England caps. And he's shown on his day, he still completely scares the living daylights out of defenders. But he's just not consistent enough. That's a problem with Aston Villa, really. But they'll give the FA Cup final a good shake, by the way.
He'll score in the FA Cup final now,
I mean,
Carlos.
They've got some Benteke and they've got some really good players in that squad, and now they've got to sniff at some silverware, and they're not going to win anything else ever. If there's the Winscreen's O'Brien Cup, the way they used to have it, they might have a crack at that, but this is their big chance because they won't win anything else, Aston Villa.
Here's a nightmare from Joe in West Footscray off the text, and in relation to the Wonder Years, who did 1990 this year. 1990 is a horror year for me as the Melbourne Knights fan when we lost the grand final on penalties against South Melbourne. Joe Palitsidis is still giving me nightmares after equalising in the last minute of normal time. That's the opposite to a fairy tale. Thanks for that, Joe in West Footscray. Hey, on 9429 1116, give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Paul in Heidelberg. Wants to talk about fairy tales. G'day, Paul.
Evening, gentlemen. I was just, when you're talking about fairy tales there, I think Stevie G had his in Istanbul back about 10 years ago now.
Yep.
Anyway, the next fairy tale I'm looking forward to, and I think it's on the cards, is the third generation of Maldinis to pull on the red and black for Milan.
Okay.
So the Cesare won the European Cup in 69. I think he might have been captain.
Yep.
I think Paolo captained in 2003 and 2007. And I believe there's at least three young Maldinis running around in the U team ranks.
Okay.
Well, they're all Catholics.
Are they? Yeah. Are they at Milan? Are they there, Paul?
I'm pretty sure they are.
Okay. We'll have to do a bit of research on that. But I mean, I tell you what, if you're looking at, you know, supreme soccer or football
pedigree.
DNA, yeah. I mean, that family. I mean, I never saw Cesare, obviously, but my father did, and he thought he was magnificent. We grew up seeing Paolo Maldini play, and what a fantastic athlete he was. I don't think I ever saw him beaten, ever.
No.
In any of the games. And we saw the Italian Serie A was broadcast on SBS all those years ago, and we'd watch him every week, and I don't think he was ever beaten at club level or international level. So I think that's a good one there, mate.
Thanks for your call, Paul. Really appreciate that. 9429 1116. Getting some text messages on your hot topic here, Warren. A fairy tale you'd like to see sometime on 0433 98 1116. Archie kicks the sealer in the A-League Grand Final at Amy Park. There's Grant in Camberwell. Removal of Sepp Blatter as FIFA chairman. Can it really happen? That's a fairy tale
Excellent.
For us all, James at Caulfield.
If we had a prize.
Yeah, if we had a prize.
I'm going to get onto that.
Tom in Glen Iris, 36 years old. Hope to see Spurs finish higher than Gunners before I die. That's Tom. And West Ham winning the title, Vange from Doncaster. And Daniel, my fairy tale would be Suarez realising he made a mistake by leaving and coming back to Liverpool and bringing Messi with him. I can dream.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a real.
That's good too.
That's a dream.
Sad and pathetic, but good.
Yes. Thanks for your text messages. 0433 98 1116. Melbourne Victory supporters and Melbourne City supporters, you've got a fairy tale or two potentially happening. Send us your text message. Hey, and while we're talking about Melbourne Victory boys, let's talk about them, because I heard you on Half today, Carlos, and Half Time is with Daniel Harford. You think that Melbourne Victory?
Yeah.
Should be celebrating already.
Mate, they're 3 points ahead, one game to go.
Mm.
The goal difference has got a positive 7 goals. There's no way they're going to lose the Premier's plate from here. They could have the worst game they could ever play against Central Coast on the weekend, and they'll still win the Premier's plate. So why aren't we just saying it? What, you know, I mean, Muskie was at pains during the press conference after the game on the weekend against Brisbane.
Keep a lead.
We still have this really important game
Focus.
To play. You know, nothing's guaranteed yet. Muskie, fair dinkum, you've done a great job, but you must be celebrating on the inside.
When we arrived in Brazil, Carlos, with the tour,
yes.
The first thing you said to us was, boys, keep a lid on it. All right, stay focused.
That's right.
So that's what
right.
Muskie's thinking. Yeah, you can't just go gallivanting around celebrating before the time is right.
No, I don't often agree with you, Carlos, but on this occasion, the reason why there's not enough fairy tales is because there's not enough fun. There's not enough fun in professional sport. Now, fair dinkum, Kev. Let them pop the cork for a couple of days, you know. Let them... Not overly consume alcohol, because we don't condone that, but let them enjoy the fact that they've won something the first time in 6 years. Fair dinkum. They could stick the youth team out there on the weekend and they wouldn't cop enough goals to lose the Premier's
plate.
There
should just be a parade, the training nights. So, you know, through the city, in little convertibles, each player gets a convertible.
Yeah.
On the way to training. Yeah. Even that, just a small thing like that would be, I think, nice.
There'd still be some Victory supporters listening that would be nervous.
What for?
You know, they lose 4-0. Sydney FC beat Wellington 4-0. Bye-bye.
Yeah. That's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Believe, Warren. Believe in fairy tales.
I'm telling you what, I encourage Victory not to even turn up to the game this week. Don't turn up. Just give you 3 points.
Yeah, the worst he can do is forfeit. And then
I think you not only lose the 3 points, but also you get, I think the result's 3-0. So we don't want to do that because Sydney beat Wellington 3-0 there at the Cake Tin just recently too. So, I find it funny, and it must be really difficult for Muskie to try and fire those boys up, suggesting it's an important game. But he did say something interesting in the press conference, saying that players are playing for their spots. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the rivalry within the team and the competition for spots within the team is something he can focus on. But really, as far as being worried about the result and not winning the Premier's plate, well, that's not going to happen.
Carlos, what do you think, or boys as well, is it a Premier's plate or the Danny seat that they want more?
For me, if you play football and you know your football, it's first past the post at the end of the season.
I mean, top of the ladder.
That's the thing. I mean,
the Scudetto.
Even the way they run the final series here now, they've actually cut games. They've cut an extra week out, right? So it's sudden death virtually from the start. You don't get a second chance. Only the first and second teams have a week off. But once they get into it, it's knockout. So it's just a lottery. In football, that's what happens. So for me, there's less value with winning the grand final, even though Australians love grand finals. It's a Premier's plate that tells me who the best team is.
And I actually reckon the victory have really honed in on finishing top. They haven't been spectacular in this run of games leading up to this. But, when they'd lost to Newcastle, and then they had that to go to Brisbane twice and win, I actually think they've really honed in on finishing top because that's significant. That means that you're the best team home and away for a 28 or so game season. I think they've really been very conscious of that. And it just shows you, one thing though that is ironic, I can imagine Kevin Muscat when he was plying his trade in England and the coach said there's an alcohol ban or you're not allowed to go celebrate. Just imagine Kevin being one that would have railed against that, saying, got to let us have a bit of fun. And now as a coach, it's all about focus and it's all about we haven't won anything yet and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, no, I think victory have been really good and they haven't been spectacular, but they've really got the job done in recent weeks. Yeah.
But the thing is, they are still liable with those lapses. Now, Vinny, you're the victory man here. I mean, Newcastle game was... I couldn't explain what happened there, and Muskie couldn't either. He virtually said in the press conference, well, we've just got to let that one go because there was nothing in the game that suggested that Newcastle were going to win that game. But they did, and there have been other times, even the game against Brisbane on the weekend.
Well, the last two games against Brisbane, the first game against Brisbane, we were really good and scored some cracking goals and played good football, but we also let Brisbane, we almost let them back into the game. Yeah. The second game... Geez, we only won 1-0, and it is Brisbane, but it was Brisbane with a depleted senior squad. They'd rested that many players, it wasn't funny. Although the young guns for Brisbane were, it was exciting to see the young kids.
Good players.
But, and the penalty, obviously, was we were lucky to get that. I think fortune favoured us for a change.
They are susceptible to these moments. So yes, maybe that's absolutely what Muskie's talking about, that if we just put the brake on at all, or we don't focus right to the end, we may lapse. And they've shown lapses at different times, even against Adelaide. In Adelaide, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
The game against Wellington.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the game against Wellington that we turned up to that time. So they are, at times, even though they're the better side on the day, they do lose games or they do drop points. And I think that could be a bit of a concern. As I said on Half Show today, I don't think this victory side's a finished product. If they win the Premier's Plate or the Grand Final or both, it's a bonus. I think you'll see the best Muscat, trained victory teams from next year onwards because there's too many gaps still in that team, but they would have done really remarkably well if they win the any trophies this year, given that there's still holes in that squad.
I was going to say, too, with Adelaide, and this is off the topic of victory, obviously, but with Adelaide, I would never have anticipated them being so poor without one player in Karuska. They look so holistic as a team when they're playing well, but you've taken Karuska out of that team with injury and they've come back to the pack in terms of they haven't really been able to win away from home. They've really struggled to win at home. And I'm sure there's lots of upside with him going into this final series, coming out of an injury cloud, I would have thought, for me, the team that was most likely to trouble the victory in terms of the way they play now look like they, are they susceptible to an upset in the first week? If they were playing anyone except Melbourne City away from home, you know, at home, I would have thought they'd be susceptible to an upset in the first week. But Karuska's been such a huge loss for them, and they haven't been able to replace him.
No, they've been really disappointing, Adelaide. And they were pretty much on top early in the game against West Sydney Wanderers, couldn't put them away, and suddenly they lose a man and it goes the other way. So that's how the one-off game can turn on something like that. And that's why I know we're going to talk about Melbourne City in a minute, but that's why I'm absolutely certain that Melbourne City could give it a shake once a final start. Don't worry about this week. But there's so much riding on them playing that first final that you'll see a good performance from them. Whether they win or not, we'll have to wait and see.
We'll talk more about Melbourne City after the break. We need to take a break right now, Vinny Venezuela and Warren, because we've got so many fairy tales on the text machine. We'll go through those after the break, right here in the 4 Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
On 1116 SEN, the 4 Diegos.
Here on a Wednesday night on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, talking about fairy tales today, talking about Melbourne victory. The hot topic tonight, Warren, is a fairy tale.
Can a fairy tale come true in modern football, and what would it be?
And what would one be that you'd like to see happen? 0433 98 11 16. Lubo Milicevic coming into the studio again and taking calls near midnight, telling people to get a life. That's our fairy tale. That's our nightmare.
I've got to say, I love Lubo. But that was a scary night, wasn't it? When we had him in the studio for an hour,
bare chested.
Yeah, didn't know what he was going to say next.
My fairy tale that came true, 2000 UEFA Cup final, Galatasaray beat Arsenal in the final in penalties, then went on to beat Real Madrid in the Super Cup final.
Wow.
That's a fairy tale. Mm. Sydney FC to lose to anyone in a grand final by a goal after not getting a blatant penalty. Yeah, that's someone's fairy tale. Greece in the 2004 European Cup, biggest fairy tale, Anthony in Malvern.
That's a Cinderella story, absolutely. You've got to be happy about that one. Hey, I've got one off the tweets. Messi to lead dynamic Argentina to the next World Cup.
Is that a fairy tale?
I think that would be fairy tale.
It'll never
happen. Argentina winning a World Cup. It's like Portugal winning a World Cup.
You know what a fairy tale for me is? Having an Australian player, like a Matty Ryan, playing for Real Madrid.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And there has been talk, I don't know how strong that talk is, whether it's a player agent just throwing it out there and feeding it to someone and it sort of ran in the media, that Real Madrid was looking at it at one stage. But apparently he's on fire in Belgium. Club Bruges will probably win the Belgium League. And he's in the middle, he's in the heart of Europe there. They all know that he can keep. I mean, Liverpool, talk about Liverpool there too.
It was in the transfer window.
But I want him to go, I want an Australian, a young Australian player.
To go to the biggest club in the world.
And be damaging there, like a Barcelona or a Real Madrid.
Tommy Rogic at Man U.
Tommy Rogic.
Oh, you're back to that
apparently he's back playing.
He's back playing.
Got
a bit of sex in
Tommy
your voice
Rogic.
There. Yeah, good there, Carlos. Nice one. Manchester United relegated to the third division. That's a fairy tale.
Yes.
Melbourne Heart are a Cinderella fairy tale, turned into Melbourne City by the Citigroup godmother and beat their ugly, mean stepsister Victory in the grand final. He's another one from Di in Canterbury. Is Ryan Giggs Man U living the fairy tale by still being at Man U as an assistant coach?
I think the fairy tale would be that he has to become coach.
Not with Louis van Gaal, who is sucking the marrow out of the sport. He does not understand. Did you listen to that press conference?
Yeah. But he was not only the press conference, but also the guy at the end, the Sky TV guy, who
I'm not
was
sure
interviewing straight after the game.
I don't think he loves the game, Vinny. Louis van Gaal. I think he is sucking the marrow out of the sport. Fair dinkum, he's got real issues.
Finally, Stephen Brunswick, for me, would be Liverpool finally buying more than one or two decent players in the off-season instead of the usual flops, also known as Balotelli, Marino, Markovic, Barini, Lambert, Allen, and installing a captain that won't slip over in a title-deciding match, a.k.a. Gerard, Stephen Brunswick.
There you go.
There you go, Warren.
Couldn't set it better myself.
Hey, we were talking about Melbourne victory before the break, and you know, the fact that they should be celebrating. You know, they're obviously putting it on ice at the moment, Carlos. Just getting it ready for after.
Kev doesn't know, but the boys are at a disco right now.
They're out now.
They're right now. Kev doesn't know, though, because he said, stuff Kev, we've won it.
We have.
I know we've got a game to go, but we've won it.
They'd be spies. Yeah. They'd be spies. You couldn't do it, could you?
No, they're too professional. They're keeping the lid on it. You know.
Actually, I'll tell you what's happening. The players are in bed, but Kev's out celebrating.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, but he's not telling anyone.
No, he can. He's still looking fresh, Kevy Musket. Well, what about, so we've got the Stadia situation sorted out, haven't we? About, so Victory do win, or do make it to the grand final. Amy Park, is that?
I think Amy Park, if it's not Melbourne City.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is Melbourne City, I think the MCG option is still on the table on the Friday night.
That would be awesome.
How many,
Carlos? You're already
make them
good at judging.
Make it $5 tickets, and they get 200,000 in there.
That's right.
It'll be Maracanã back in the 50s.
Yeah. Right? There'll be standing room. Yeah.
If I was the FFA, fair dinkum. $5 tickets for everyone. Don't give them away for free, but it's $5. So you make a little bit of money. And get 103,000 people. That's right. Get them all in there.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting, Carl. It's not a bad marketing ploy there.
Actually, you know who'd make the money? The people with the booking fee.
That's right.
It costs you more to book it online than actually purchase the ticket.
Yeah,
Ticketek, I think, do the MCG. So,
do they?
Yeah.
You've got connections there.
I've got connections. More Ticketmaster.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about that later.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what about. But, so let's talk about Melbourne City, Warren.
Yeah. You want to know my honest opinion? You want me to be
You only ever give your
honest
opinion.
Well, if I could divorce a team like I'd done previously, fair dinkum, if I could find an alternative team to support in the A-League,
they're finished fifth in their own right.
No, you know what irritates me? Because John Van Schip came out and said that he wants their mental attitude to be better. Now, I was watching that game on Sunday night. They absolutely dominated the first 20 minutes. There was no issues around their mental attitude in the first 20 minutes. They just have this illness about being able to put the ball in the back of the net. They needed one goal of the 15 chances that they had.
Nevio
was
peppering.
And then they go up the other end and cop the softest goal.
Nevio was peppering.
He was everywhere.
And he did test. I mean, it's not like he was kicking over the bar. I mean, he was hitting the targets, and Vukovic was really saving them.
And then they soft up the other end.
The disappointing thing is that David Williams continues to get in the really good positions and just can't score for fun because he has enough chances to score for fun. But Nevio does hit the targets. He just, unfortunately, on that occasion, Vukovic saved. But it was Retre's send-off, and suddenly the whole thing changes again.
Who was that referee?
It was a bit soft.
Ben Williams, was it?
Two yellow card offences. However soft they were, they were two yellow card offences. Two yellow cards. My mathematics in football says...
yellow.
It's
not
red.
Graham Pohl's mathematics. They irritate me because their best is good enough. Their best is good enough to go and beat Adelaide in a one-off final.
Forget about this Friday because it's a nothing game.
It is a nothing game.
What are they going to do in the first... Given that in year two they made the finals and they were pretty inept.
Inept, insipid against Perth.
Yeah, and they haven't been in the finals since.
No.
They can't afford another performance
like
that.
No, they've got to go... If they're going to go down, they better go down being credible because, you know what? Notionally, John Van Schip, I mean, they haven't been saved by Perth because they were going to finish in that spot. Well, they were going to finish sixth regardless the way. So they've achieved that. But if they were to whimper out of the finals against Adelaide, you know, being beaten 3-1 after being 3-0 down after 45 minutes, you know, sometimes, you know, we want finals in Australian sport because we love the final. But, you know, for all the work to get to the finals, if you get there and then you go out in an insipid way, that almost puts more nails in your coffin, so to speak, as a coach than what it would if you just finished fifth on the ladder and you qualified for whatever for the following season.
If they finish fifth and have a glorious failure in the first final, is that a good enough season?
I'd say they'd accept it externally as to whether internally there'd be a lot more pressure on him, I'm not sure.
You mean internally at Manchester?
Yeah, internally within the organisation, I'm not sure. But look,
they would have, sorry to interrupt you, they would have expected to finish top three given the way they started. You know, with Veer coming and
Duff and
I don't think that's unreasonable to expect that they probably would have. And really, if you look outside Melbourne Victory, it's a pretty, even with Perth in there, it's a soft top three in terms of Sydney are very capable of being beaten. Wellington have been good in patches, but they've been really poor
Sydney's
in patches.
Sydney's had a terrific record since the Asian Cup.
Yeah, they have.
They actually haven't beaten. They've been beaten away from home. I mean, they're the real challengers for Victory.
Yeah,
Sydney.
Yeah,
but all the rest of them, it's only Victory and Sydney for me. All the rest of them, it's hit and miss. But again, it is sudden death in the final. So Adelaide's quite capable. If they turn it on to beat anyone,
we can.
So is Wellington.
With Burns and Bonaventure and this.
Melbourne City could get lucky. I reckon they're not lucky in the sense that they've had a sort of topsy turvy season, but they can get in front of goal, and they've been unlucky in that they haven't finished some of the good work that they've created. So in a final situation, suddenly Williams, you know, puts two in instead of putting them over the bar or wide, and it's literally
Nigel,
a game changer.
Nigel Bogart, who now holds the record for the most red cards in the A-League, is he missing the first final? I mean, I don't know.
He only gets 1 week, oh, okay. 1 week for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think Josh Kennedy didn't travel to Perth, but does the short flight to Adelaide. Yep. I think he's the type of guy that could travel Adelaide notionally, but...
But would them winning a final actually cover up the cracks?
Yeah, I think so.
So do they need to lose that final to really make the decisions that need to be made at that club?
I think there's decisions are going to be made anyway. I think some
you
decisions
think so?
Probably already
what
have
if they,
been made.
What if they make their way all the way to the grand final?
I think it'd still be made, yep.
I think they might not be as brutal, it might save some guys. But I think they've had their year. They've had the year with John Van Skippen a bit. I think next year there'll be a different Melbourne City.
Names have been circled, Carlos.
Yeah.
There are circles around names.
It's amazing how names can... I mean,
with a question mark.
I heard halfway through the year Germano was going to be one definitely to go, and he's been terrific since he's played.
That's what I'm saying.
You give these guys a chance, and suddenly, just when you think you can cut them, you think, oh, God, he's playing well again. It's just they toy with you, these players.
They need a shake-up.
Absolutely, I agree. Now, does that extend to the coaching, Warren?
Oh, look, I think if the league was more cutthroat in nature, and you know, if there was promotion and relegation, there was the stuff around it. I think the fact that there's nothing around that. John Van Skips, was appointed for 3 years. I think no, they won't do too much, but they've definitely got to have some sort of clear picture as to where they want to go with their team, because they'd signed a remarkably large number of players from one season to another last season. There wasn't that, turnover that you might have expected. And actually, as much as, Damien Duff didn't come off more through injury than anything, because I'd say if he was now in the team, they'd be a very good chance of causing an upset. But him not. But, they bought in Melling.
Yep.
But he's
out for the season now.
Yeah.
He hurt his knee at training, so he's gone.
Yeah, so I think they've got some young guys coming through, but they've got to get their mix in terms of their international marquee. They'll have a spot available there. Josh Kennedy, he's signed a longer-term contract, but the David Williamses of the world and the Ramseys and a few others who are always showing you enough to think, I don't want to lose them, but are never consistent enough to actually get you from fifth. And there, look, ladder wise, there are a lot of, for finishing fifth, there are a lot of points behind the top couple of teams who have lost their fair share of games this year.
Yep,
absolutely. So have you done the permutations and combinations?
Can they? If they beat Adelaide and Victory win in the first
Brisbane
week of the final,
need to win their
third
game.
Yeah, third play sixth and fourth play fifth. And then I think Victory play the lowest rank winner.
So that'd have to be Brisbane. So Brisbane would have to cause an upset in the first week.
That's
or it might be City. you know, if Brisbane lose in that first week against third place, if it's Wellington, and City win, yep. Victory will play City in that.
Preliminary.
Duckworth Lewis's.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
One bloke. I thought it was two.
Well, they hang around together. Joined at the hip.
Yes,
Warren.
I mean, for Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory to play in the grand final, Brisbane has to win in that first round.
Yeah, first week.
Yeah.
And they're going to play. No, we don't know for sure, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're on here. Fairy Tale, owning the food stands and bringing back KFC Hernandez. Mervyn Berrick, thank you.
Yes.
He's in the Indian Premier League, isn't he? Yes. No? KFC?
I think he's. No, I think he left there.
Okay.
Hey,
the
boys.
Vindaloo didn't sit well with him.
Causing him a bit of havoc, was it?
Because KFC have Vindaloo over there.
They do. They do.
Chicken chicken.
Yeah, yeah, not the mild version.
Yeah, chicken masala.
Ah. Oh, very nice. In a box.
Yeah. The spicy chicken masala. But anyway.
He went through the drive-thru.
I did not know.
Boys, I've got a problem. Going into the finals, that when Musket goes 1-0 or 2-0, he doesn't have a plan to... He goes into abuse mode. What do you think, Andrew and Coburg? We addressed this earlier in the year that, Warren, you in particular are not a big fan of the histrionics.
Oh, no, I'm not. And I'm not a big fan of all the coaches' histrionics. And when the whistle blows, can they just get off the field, please? That's the other thing that I'm not liking.
What does the fourth official do? Is he just paid to say, yep?
Did you see
that? They can't actually change anything.
There was one last week.
The Young Work Experience boys.
The handshake.
He was in Muskie's face. I said, you mustn't have a history.
You don't know who he is.
You need a history lesson of this guy.
You know who I am.
But Muskie smiled. And offered his hand in the handshake. Yep. But this kid kept on berating him. But Muskie said, no, here's the handshake. And the kid still shook his hand whilst he was berating him. So it's good that they've got some plucky little referees.
Fourth officials.
He was a work experience kid. And the other thing that Muskie does beautifully well, when he's not happy with a decision, he'll wander out onto the pitch after the game as the referees form their wall to walk off. He'll go V-line straight to them. And just quickly shake all of their hands on the way. And then just parallels them as they walk back through, just providing some advice and general impressions of their performance.
I was a marshal on the weekend. I had power. I had the orange vest and I had to
You
escort.
Were security?
I was security. Did me, Vinny Venezuela. Who would have thought?
Junior game, Vinny?
Junior game.
Yeah. Did you flex?
You know, I had to keep a lid on the away
parents,
supporters.
The parents?
Yeah, so, but they were okay. They were good.
Oh, good, good.
Were they roped off the ground? What happens at your junior?
The coach was getting outside of his sort of technical area, and I had to say, listen, buddy, back in there. Like, I was the fourth official, kind of.
Yeah, I've already... slip. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I had my netball coaching debut on the weekend. Yeah, I got told to sit down by the second official.
See, Vinny did it with a short black too. He's walking around with a little short black on a Sunday morning. Was it Sunday morning, Vinny?
It was a Sunday morning.
Yeah, chilly Sunday morning, short black. You know.
It's the only way to do it for Vinny Venezuela.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, let's take a break. I think so. And then we'll come back. We'll talk to Mike McGrath. Yes. Looking forward to this weekend so that Victory and Victory supporters can celebrate their top of the table. The Premier's plate, as we call it. They're not doing it now, Carlos.
They're celebrating
they'll do it after the game. It's when you do it and when they take on Central Coast Mariners on Sunday night. Good luck to you and good luck to both the Melbourne teams as they go into the finals.
They'll probably have the warm down at the ice bar or something like that, straight from the ground.
For Diego's 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home sport.
Come on, guys. A lot of you are involved but not committed. Do you know the difference between involvement and commitment? Think of ham and eggs. The chicken is involved... The pig is committed. This has been a halftime pep talk by the Four Diegos. Lady,
hear me tonight. On 11:16 SEN, the Four Diegos.
Yes, and coming up after the Diegos, it's All Night Appetite with Darren Parkin and A-Rod in the banter hour. Yes, A-Rod's nodding. Always good listening. Make sure you're listening after midnight tonight for an hour or so. Or make sure you listen to Darren all night if you're up.
That Darren's good listening.
Yeah, Darren. Yeah, well, A-Rod. Good. A-Rod adds value.
He does a good
value.
Job. Yeah, he does.
Anyway, let's not talk
about
A-Rod.
I listen until about three.
Yeah, to you.
And then I've got to go to bed.
That's right. You shouldn't have that short black just after the show, Carlos. But, hey, Look, Mike McGrath's been very patient. He hasn't been waiting the whole show. He's just got him. Mike McGrath from The Sun is on the line. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, always our pleasure. Rodrigo's here. That's me, Vinny, Warren and Carlos. And Warren wants to kick it off tonight.
Oh, Mike, I've got a number of bees in my bonnet. But Louis van Gaal and his press conference after the after what was a really good game and a good performance by Manchester United, but they lost. But we hadn't seen this previously, but it was almost, he was sucking the marrow out of the life of the game for me, Mike. What was going on with that press conference?
Well, it's, I mean, you guys probably haven't seen it as much as we have, but I mean, you can't ask any kind of half-volley questions. You've got to really be, you got to be on your ball when you're a journalist, and he really took that broadcaster to task, really, and told him, you know, a few home truths, and it made for quite squeamish TV. But that's how Van Gaal is. He doesn't take prisoners, and if he doesn't like the line of questioning, you know you're going to get both barrels back.
Mike, it's Carlos, but listening to, he had a crack at the Sky reporter directly after the game, and then in the press conference he had a, I'm not sure with the same reporter, but he had a crack at the same another reporter, and they were focusing on the loss, the fact that they lost 1-0, and they were asking about whether he was frustrated with that, given that they played so well and had so much of the ball. I thought that was a quite normal question to ask, and he sort of got a little bit antsy over the fact that they weren't concentrating on how well they played.
Oh. Look, I think, Carlos, that was a really tough question.
That was Louis, yeah. Louis van Gaal.
He's just off doing some research. But anyway, we'll get him back very soon.
Absolutely. So Warren, I mean,
yeah.
I must admit I didn't see that interview, but I've seen him. He's a very dour kind of guy.
He's sucking the marrow out of the sport.
Yeah,
it's interesting that Mike, when we get Mike back, sorry.
That is harsh, Warren. Yeah.
It's hard because I'm trying to imagine how you actually do that.
I think Van Gaal, you've got to give him credit for turning Man U around. So
been pretty easy.
He's allowed to be trying to, you know, his cup is being half full and he wants people to realise.
So what's his name's back?
What's his name?
Yeah, Mike's back. G'day, Mike, you're back.
I prefer what's his name.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm not sure whether you got the whole question there, but basically I thought they were relatively, you know, genuine questions you'd ask about the loss rather than...
I think Van Gaal had his back up because he rated their performance, and, you know, his players were doing what they asked of him. And when you lose a game with 70% possession, you're probably going to be upset about it. I think he let that show to the reporter. But, I mean, it does show that you do have to have things up your sleeve. You have to know how to treat Van Gaal when you come face to face with him. There is absolutely no easy questions for him.
Mike, Vinny here. Has there been any? Were Man U supporters as happy with that result, even though it was a poor result? Given that they did have 70% possession, but they were kind of prongless. They didn't really threaten the Chelsea goal that much, and I know Rooney had an opportunity, and Falcao maybe had half an opportunity, but I don't think he was being as dangerous as they were hoping. And quite honestly, I was surprised that Van Gaal didn't give Van Persie at least 10 minutes towards the end.
Well, this certainly hasn't been a week where there's been a fallout over, you know, where are Man U going. I think Man U fans and certainly the reporters up there covering them day to day kind of see that they're going in the right direction. Van Gaal's got them playing well, got them winning, and I think that's not really going to, you know, a defeat at Chelsea isn't going to detract from that. I think it was, yeah, it came at a very pertinent time as well, because obviously that is a year to the day today since Moyes was sacked. And I don't think one defeat is gonna make them think that it's gone back to those days just yet.
Now, Mike, with Liverpool not being able to, you know, give Stevie G the opportunity to have a fairy tale, which we've been talking about tonight, I just wonder, how does Brendan Rodgers and Liverpool themselves manage the exit now of Stevie G? They're still half in the fight for fourth position, so they can't hand him games and hand him time, and they might not be in that race towards the end, but in terms of handing him time, that sort of stuff, how is he going to finish his career? Because there's a sense that it's going to go out with more like a whimper than a bang in terms of the celebration of his time there.
Yeah, I think Rodgers himself has said there's going to be no sentiment about his selection. And I think he'll be true to that. I think that when Lucas is back, he'll have a real decision on what team to pick. And when it comes to that last game against Palace at Anfield, his last home game, if they need points, it could be a real decision for him to make. I think minimum, though, he will get a few minutes on that final day at Anfield, even if it's just stoppage time. Because he is going to get the most incredible reception or farewell, if you like, during that game. But I think Brendan's going to be pretty ruthless about this. He's not going to stick him in the team for sentiment.
Is there any danger that Brendan Rodgers might be in trouble at all, or is it just
not really? I mean, the feeling from the club earlier in the week was that he is safe. But, I think he'll be under pressure in terms of, making his signings work and getting a tune out of his players next year. But in terms of the sack, that's definitely not the sounds that we're hearing out of Anfield at the moment.
Hey, Mike, on our text message machine here, there's not a lot of love for Brendan Rodgers. So, yeah, a few text messages tonight saying that he should be sacked. So, is that the same kind of sentiment amongst the public?
I mean, there's questions being asked about him. His signings that he brought in didn't work, but I think he himself is really hampered by some bad luck. Really, losing Suarez and Sturridge being injured has been a massive factor, and he kind of resurrected them a little bit with that run, changing his formation, and that was good coaching, and he needs to carry that on and have a strong end to the season, even if they don't finish fourth. I think it's a bit of an overreaction. They were on a fantastic run before this mini slump started for that Man U defeat. They were playing well and getting results.
Hey, Mike, you're the best known what's-his-name on Melbourne radio, so really
appreciate
that. That's all right. I was only kidding, you know that. As always, thanks for your time with the Diagos.
Cheers, guys. Speak to you soon.
There's what's-his-name from The Sun in the UK, Mike McGrath with the Diagos, as always. Boys, big show tonight. Thanks to our callers and our text messages. Really enjoyed the fairy tale stuff. Coming up after the Diagos, All Night Appetite with Darren Parkin and A-Rod in for the first hour for the banter hour. So remember, Carlos.
We were Puerto Rican girls. Hang out.
We're there. Wherever you Samba, Rumba and La Bamba.
We're there.
Wherever there are girls with fruit on their handlebars and their feet.
We're there.
Wherever gringos play football.
We're there.
We are the Four Diagos.
Olé.